You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. On Monday, the investigative news nonprofit ProPublica published an investigation centering on former South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. The article alleges that now Secretary of Homeland Security Noem funneled political donations through a personal company to herself. She then allegedly did not include those funds in her disclosure documents when she became the Secretary of Homeland Security. Now, ProPublica is not alleging that Noem broke campaign finance laws. Her lawyer also issued a statement saying Noem has fully complied with the spirit and letter of the law. Let's go to our Dakota political junkies for their analysis. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen is co-host of Dakota Town Hall. We are going to start out with a ProPublica story about Secretary Kristi Noem and her political donations. Seth Tupper, this is a long chain of public scrutiny into Kristi Noem's finances and how she spends money. Do you think she gets more scrutiny than other political figures? And if so, do you think it's deserved that her numbers are looked at more closely than others?
Yes, absolutely. She gets more scrutiny, and I think it is deserved in a lot of cases. And again, I've said this on your show before, but it's almost like this this relationship that she has with the media, all these exposés that are done about her, it only kind of goes to her benefit. It raises her profile, raises her name recognition. She can claim that the liberal media is out attacking her, and she can use that to raise money and get support. And it's just this ever upward spiral of Kristi Noem becoming ever more and more famous and recognizable. And I mean, that's just kind of the way the modern news and outrage machine works. That's not to take away from the great investigative work that ProPublica did on this, but I'm not holding out any belief that somebody's actually going to do something about any alleged reporting.
So you think the reporting helps her? This kind of story helps her.
Ultimately, yeah. I mean, just look at her track record, her actions during the pandemic, that were widely condemned, but only ended up making her more of a national name, to, her book launch, which a lot of people thought was a career ender, which got her a job in the Trump administration, and here we go. So, she's able to take every supposed scandal or whatever happens and turn it to her benefit.
Yeah. I mean, to this point, Doc, the photo in the ProPublica story is her at the rodeo riding a horse, carrying an American flag. It's a fantastic photo.
It's a fantastic photo. There's an immediate response. I mean, I'm not picking on him. He's a buddy of mine. But like Pat Powers has the conservative blog, DakotaWarCollege.com. There was 5 minutes later, there was a post calling ProPublica a leftist organization. In the modern landscape of what a politician is, I don't really think it matters, because it's not going to turn anybody in the middle. If you didn't like Noem, now there's just more fuel for that fire. You get a week's worth of Facebook angst about it. And if on the other side, it's a fundraiser.
All right. So let's talk about the meat of the story itself. What is the investigation, Seth? They're looking at, she makes financial disclosures. She has to make financial disclosures, detailed financial disclosures, before she becomes in the president's cabinet. And what did ProPublica find that they say she did not disclose?
Well, I'll put in a little public information disclosure here first. She didn't disclose any of this while she was governor. And also, if you go to her financial interest statements on the Secretary of State's website today, you'll find that none of them actually load up, because the website is such garbage. And that's our transparency in South Dakota. Right. I went to them yesterday to try to see what did she put on her financial interest statements as governor. I couldn't get any of them to load off the Secretary of State's website. But anyway, she goes forward and she gets the job in the Trump administration, and she has to do a much more thorough disclosure. And she does disclose this as an asset, this company called Ashwood Strategies. And I do recall, our D.C. Bureau did a story at the time on her financial disclosures. What is this Ashwood Strategies? And we spent about 10 minutes thinking about it and moved on to 100 other things. And to ProPublica's credit, they used their voluminous nonprofit disclosure database that they've built to really track where this money came from. They found out it comes from a dark money nonprofit that basically worked with...
dark money nonprofit. There's a phrase.
Wait, yeah. That's not Ashwood, though. That's the America Resolve.
Right.
So let's make sure people who have not read the story understand.
It's one of these generic names. You're going to have to remind me again. Yeah, American Resolve
America
Policy
Resolve
Fund.
America Resolve Policy Fund.
And anyway,
and Ashwood is her LLC, which is
right.
a company.
So the,
okay, keep going.
So American Resolve paid Ashwood Strategies for Christine Home to help American Resolve do some fundraising. Apparently, she helped them raise about $800,000, and they paid her $80,000, her LLC, $80,000 for that help. And apparently, on her disclosure, she just disclosed that, you know, she has this asset, this company, Ashwood Strategies, so she didn't disclose that she was paid $80,000 specifically by this dark money nonprofit.
Okay, I'm going to read from her disclosure form now so people know. So Ashwood Strategies, LLC, she lists as personal activities outside my official gubernatorial capacity. And in the end note, it says income reported for Ashwood Strategies, LLC, was solely received by the LLC. I did not receive any personal income or other distributions from the LLC.
It feels like in the 90s when we're trying to define what is.
Right. So you she doesn't mean? Disclose mm-hmm. it because...
Well, the company got paid.
The company got paid. It's her company, but she did not take any personal distributions from it. So what happens to the money then, Seth?
Well, we don't know, really. I mean, all we know is what we know from the ProPublica story. And I think at the meat of this, really, to understand what's going on here, it's influence, you know. It's just this constant battle that we have in society, journalism, politics. Who is funneling money to our politicians? Mm-hmm. Who, therefore, is influencing them? And what is that influence buying? And this is an instance that ProPublica has reported that we didn't really fully know who was trying to influence Christine Ohm. We still don't really know because, as mentioned, this nonprofit that paid her LLC is a dark money group, meaning it doesn't disclose its donors. So we don't know where that money came from. And in society, the broader point is we should know who's sending money to try to influence our politicians and where that money comes from so we can all make up our own minds whether we're comfortable with that or not, and we can vote accordingly.
Trump has a meme coin. We're just in a different time. She's not a policy wonk. She's a rock star. Make a list of people who can raise $800,000 and it's a pretty short list, and no one does it for free. I'm not defending it, but I just don't think it's out of the norm. I think the ProPublica article made it look more like a shot when they put her wealth compared against everybody else in there. I don't know if that was intended or not, but then that made the whole thing seem a little leaning. This is what it is. This, you know, tell me the difference between the Secretary of Homeland Security and, you know, Kid Rock on tour.
Well, the difference be what I just said, I think, is that I don't care, you know, who's influencing Kid Rock, but I do care who's paying money to influence it. And I think that's what gets lost.
Right now, the American electorate, I don't mean to sound snippy about it, but the American electorate does not care.
Yeah. But, and yeah, right. I think the heart of the story is just, you know, it's a transparency issue. We should know who's influencing her. But you can have a debate whether it's right or wrong that she's working with this group or getting the money, whatever. But at least we should know, and there should be transparency.
Because, it should matter.
Right, because this
record is
a new level. This is a new level, too. It's not just, you know, business as usual. It is, and Seth, you pointed out this quote from a former Federal Election Commission attorney saying, if donors to these nonprofits are not just holding the keys to an elected official's political future, but also literally providing them with their income, that is new and it is disturbing.
Exactly, and that's partly because, yeah, I mean, who provided this money to the dark money nonprofit to give to Christine Ohm's LLC? We don't know that. And do those donors who gave that money expect something in return, and what is that?
Yeah. And she would say, they did not provide my income because I have not taken any personal distributions from it. This isn't income, but it is her company.
Right.
Yeah, so it's new and disturbing, but to Murdoch's point, that doesn't necessarily mean there will be a change in the winds. Although there could be. I mean, I think the electorate cares. I think people are frustrated with money in politics in general, in both parties. Usually it's in the party that you don't like, that you're the most keyed up about, or the candidate you don't like. But I think people are still caring about where the money comes from.
I just think it feels like that because of social media. if you care that much, hold more signs. If you care that much, go, you know, move to Wisconsin and knock on doors. Or not, you know what I mean?
Day of the Jackal?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so if you watch Day of the Jackal, like one of the main themes is this software that's going to reveal everybody's money and where it's going so that everybody knows all the details about money. And that's, you know, the assassination plot in the fictional story is to keep that release of the software that's going to reveal to the world how all the wealthy people are spending their money. The stakes are high.
Turn season two. Tune in.
I guess my point of saying
to America,
that
the final season.
Fiction, you know, it says something about the cultural moment that we're in. And so I guess I'm going to argue that, you know, people are upset about leaders, whether they're tech giants or whether they're political leaders, having a lot of money, not knowing where it comes from, because it's showing up in our books and our movies. And I think that's significant. That's all I'm
arguing. I agree with
that.
I just think the step towards fixing it is more, you know, I'm the last one that gets to say it as I'm making half a career making funny jokes, but it's a wealth gap issue. It's not a left or right issue. And this is just going to get retranslated into people who hate Noam love this story and people who love Noam hate this story. I ain't fixing anything.
All right. So let's go back to the South Dakota, because Seth, you said, you know, trying to figure out what people are spending on campaigns here in the state is there's less information than if you're applying for a federal job. And we have a new Dusty Johnson is now running for governor. That's official. He was in Sioux Falls yesterday. He was in Rapid City yesterday, probably a few spots in between, and back to Washington. Seth, what are your impressions of his campaign launch?
Well, Murdoch and I were at the Rapid City event yesterday. We saw each other there. You know, I mean, formality. I mean, I joke that, you know, Dusty Johnson has been running for governor seemingly since he came out of the womb.
Was nine, right?
So, you know, I have a clear memory. Like I was talking about this yesterday.
On his birth certificate, there's a little Dusty for governor.
Exactly. when I was in Mitchell at the Daily Republic when he ran for PUC in 2004, I covered that first race.
He was
the day after he won. He beat a Democratic incumbent. Mm-hmm. I went and interviewed him, and I've been meaning to look up that story. I don't know if I could find it, but there was a clear feeling that day back in 2004 that, oh, this guy is, you know, he's going for a higher office. He's going to run for governor someday. So it's just a matter of when, and now we know when. It's now.
It's now.
That was my impressions. And a lot of generalities. I mean, he gave his speech yesterday. I didn't hear a lot of, you know, specific policy prescriptions.
Okay,
you
but
know,
what were your favorite generalities? What are the generalities we're going to be talking about for a long time? Because I got a couple. Yeah,
on property tax. And I know you did an interview with him, and I haven't had a chance to listen to that full interview yet. Yeah. And we, our Josh Heyer did an interview with him outside of the launch that we're still working on and hope to publish later and get more specifics. But in the launch speech, he mentioned property taxes, and he did say something about we need to cut property taxes. We're going to do it responsibly, and we're going to maintain services. And, you know, he didn't say how. I mean, to me, the only proposals I've heard to be able to do that, you got to be able to replace the revenue lost to lower property taxes with higher sales taxes or something. So I'll be looking forward to, you know, what exactly he means by that, obviously. And,
Good luck getting a definition there year out.
Well, and again, yeah, it's a year to the election. There's plenty of time to get these specifics, obviously. Yesterday was just, you know, hey, I'm running.
So. Covered the Trump basics and the immigrant basics, I noticed.
Yeah, we talked earlier about, you know, he released a video, lots of pickup in that video. Dusty driving a dirty pickup, you know, lots of branding there. Noticed that. So, yeah.
It was well done. It was shot well, right? It was good production.
All right. So what, Murdoch, what did you take away? Some of the key things? Do you think, yep, that metaphor is going to last a long time?
It was mixed with, hey, we're trying to bring it back to normal, and I'm a bridge builder, which is his, that's his bread and butter brand, right? Mm-hmm. Main Street caucus, not a fiery, I'm reflective, et cetera. But, you know, 10 seconds into that video, Trump's name was on it, and 13 seconds into that video, immigrants flash across the screen. So, you know, that's the hot buttons right now of the conversation.
I got a lot
of
business stuff. I got a lot of small business stuff and education in my talk, maybe because he was with SDPB. I don't know. Maybe it was the audience, but he talked to, and maybe that's because that's what I asked him about. But there were a lot of education.
Room
teacher
full of
pay.
Business people in Rapid City.
Yeah. No mega hats in the crowd.
Not one. Photoshop. I was joking with Tupper. I was like, he's going to have to Photoshop a couple of them red hats in some of the pictures, you know?
You know, the other thing I did notice, Lori, was
he said there are people like you out there, Murdoch, who did not want the president to be successful. and that you should want the president to be successful.
I always want the president to be successful.
You're making your MAGA hat jokes there, so go ahead,
Lori, the other impression I did have is, you know, in this race where so far we know, you know, John Hansen, Toby Doden, Dusty Johnson, maybe Larry Roden, the level of sophistication of the Dusty Johnson campaign obviously showed yesterday in that it's a coordinated launch. Touched base with the media. He manufactured, you know, several stories last week about, oh, it looks like he's running, and they got another story yesterday. He is running in multiple locations, Sioux Falls and Rapid City.
National press coverage.
They made sure there was a ton of people at each event. In Sioux Falls, you know, former Governor Dugard gets up and endorses him. In Rapid City, he had the local sheriff stand up and endorse him. And he has the
Will
former
Mortensen.
Sheriff as his campaign chair, Will Mortensen.
He grew his mustache out to do, you know, like Wyatt Earp. He's doing Will Mortensen's last ride.
Yeah, and so this is a guy who obviously, you know, comes from the old school of how you run a sophisticated campaign and ground game. And he has a ton of money, over $6 million in his various PACs and campaign funds. You know, the question is, you know, does that still work in the Trump era? Can somebody like a Toby Doden or whoever come along and just do something completely different like Trump did and push him out of the way? I don't know. But the sophistication of his campaign and how much, you know, planning and groundwork they've done on this really, really showed yesterday.
Now, I have not seen the Will Mortensen mustache.
It's good.
But I will tell you, I've heard more men tell me about the Will Mortensen mustache than I've heard men talk about it. Anything else this political season. There seems to be a story there.
It's a slow, even with all the announcements, must be slow news.
I'm going with the Matt Michaels' is back in peer influence kind of thing, you know?
Could be. A calculated mustache, you're saying.
Not necessarily, just inspired and aspirational, right? Seth, juxtapose or compare and contrast the Marty Jackley for House announcement, which I think I used the word undisciplined. I'm not sure that's a fair word or not, but there was a definite difference between how John Hansen and Dusty Johnson launched their campaigns versus what we had from Marty Jackley saying he was running for House. What happened?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me to juxtapose mustaches for a second. I was scared.
I've really had enough of the mustache. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, it was strange. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, the experience of
I care more about Will Mortensen's policies than I do about his facial hair. I will not objectify him that way.
But yeah, no, the experience of this, and I think Kello apparently deserves the credit for breaking the Marty Jackley story. I mean, I went to, we had the Black Hills Forum and Press Club in Rapid City on Friday, and Bill Gasson, the CEO and president of Sanford, spoke. Mm-hmm. So I'm there, and I was talking to Mark Haugen, who's a staffer for John Thune, and he says, oh, did you hear about Jackley? I said, what? He just announced he's running for Congress. What? I pulled it up, and yeah, I mean, he did an interview with a reporter from Kello, and just seemingly, I don't know if it was planned or just decided to pop it at that time, but then we're all reacting to that, and there was no apparent pre-planning, no announcement, no event, no nothing. I don't know. The only thing I could think is that, you know, there had obviously Jackley had probably been thinking about what he was going to do. Is he going to run for re-election to attorney general? Is he going to run for governor? Is he going to run for Congress? And then along the way, you know, Dusty is planning his announcement. Maybe when those details got firmed up and Jackley knew that, he decided, I need to shove my foot in the door to kind of, you know, scare off other challengers. I don't know, but it was kind of bizarre.
Help him? Is that, I mean, raise a glass to Kello, because I'm sure they're raising their own glasses right now.
Cheers, Kello. Good job, Mary.
Good job. But does it help Marty Jackley to release it like that? Because I just feel it shows a vulnerability in his planning.
This is total speculation. I'm just trying to, you know, be the lawyer for the other side because it's fun. You know, it's polling out there floating around and in a couple articles saying he's up by like 9,000%. Yeah. Maybe they're just not that worried. And it's June.
Yeah, I think it does help Jackley because I think, you know, anybody who's going to get into that House race, you know, it looks like is going to have to start from scratch, you know, raising money. Somebody like a Casey Crabtree. Yeah. And if you know, you're going to donors and they're saying, well, I already saw Jackley's in, that creates a problem for you. So,
but you can't donate. There's no website to donate right now.
Right. I'm sure, though, they're having conversations in the background with, you know, if I do
shouldn't
this,
that have
gonna
been ready to launch?
I think, in a traditional sense.
Wasn't there a report that it was already that he had already had a website?
And... Well, but Jack Lee already has a campaign
account
for running for attorney general, which he can transfer that money.
That can just be moved right over.
You've changed my mind. I'm convinced that he was very savvy in doing this.
I don't know why it was. That's just my speculation, but I think there is some benefit to being. Okay, I'm the guy with the most name recognition. Yeah. I'm the first to be out there, and I'm trying to scare off other challengers.
It does seem, Keller could, in the day, Doden's word got out on Doden before he announced. Word got out on John Hansen before he announced. I don't mean this as a disrespect to those two. Word got out on Marty, and more people care about Marty, so the snowball started rolling. But I don't think that was any maybe different than any of the other. Word got out on Dusty's announcement before people knew about it. It's just that it was the first one.
But all of those other people were planning a formal announcement that had, and then Jack Lee didn't. I don't know why. But it was an odd way to launch a congressional campaign.
Yeah,
certainly.
So the early polling shows, strong numbers for him. Is he tough to beat? He's going to debate well. He's going to campaign well.
Tough to beat in any race, even if he isn't running, gubernatorial, AG, he's got a statewide network, he has huge sheriff support. He is the rare candidate that can sit between both moderate Republicans and more Freedom Caucus Republicans, and it's not an immediate decision. That's hard to beat. I think, Casey's got a different path, but he's also hard to beat, and for that matter, there's a few other names being thrown around. Amber Hulse, who District 30 House Rep, Lieutenant Governor Tony Van Huysen. There's paths for everybody still. It's early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seth, what would you add for this race?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be really tough. Obviously, he starts with a great advantage in name recognition over anybody else we've heard of that might be interested in the House race. Having run multiple times for Attorney General, having run for governor, been on TV a lot in 2018 when he was running for governor unsuccessfully against Kristi Noem in the primary. Mm-hmm. So I think he does start at
but
big advantage.
But oh, so close, yeah.
But yeah, and again, it's early. I always flash back to 2010. U.S. House Republican primary, a guy named Chris Nelson was supposed to win that, and then
some legislator that
a lot of people hadn't heard of named Kristi Noem came along and had other thoughts on that. So you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that same thing. I mean, that was Marty's. He was governor till her path.
Right, and I was gonna say there were people who had voter's remorse.
Sure.
They were wishing they'd cast that vote for Marty Jackley instead of Kristi Noem at some point when times were really tough.
I heard
that more than once. We could have had Jackley. So a lot of people did vote for him, and some people who didn't vote for him wish they had. He comes out strong. He comes out strong as a candidate in the state with the Republican Party, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, as the polling said, wasn't it 40, 45%? Crazy number.
Yeah, which I think, again, points to why he probably felt like he's in that strong position. He needs to maintain it by planting his flag first and saying,
I'm
here, so if you're thinking about doing this, you might want to think again.
It was affordable. It was a really affordable campaign line.
It was, yeah.
Low
sure.
expense. Yeah. What does he do next?
Buy a bus. That's the thing. Everyone's got to buy a bus nowadays. But a guy selling used buses is going to make a killing this summer.